free you. This is what I'm fighting for. This is what I died for.
Jesus, I'm sorry. Please forgive me.
I've already forgiven you. The question is, will you forgive yourself?
So the new year, we entered into another year called 2025, isn't it? What changed? Nothing changed. Nothing changed. We are the same people. We live in the same place. We've got do the same things. We've got the same job. What is speciality about the new year? Looking at that video, we always want to carry our own burdens, but Jesus has cast your burdens unto me. I'll free you. And we keep carrying all the stuff that we think we should be carrying. We think we are the responsible to carry because it is our mess. It's the stuff that I've made. So I'm responsible and I need to carry it on. And Jesus says, in this new year, at least, we need to forgive. We need to let it go. We need to say, Lord, I'm coming to you. I want to be free. Right. Happy New Year. A wonderful promise that we have. See, I'm doing a new thing. New thing. I'm doing a new thing. So the Lord is doing a new thing in our lives. Now it springs up, do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Take this promise for this year. Maybe we are going or walking through a wasteland or a wilderness where there is no water, not literally water, where you feel it's all dry, where you feel there's nothing good coming on our way. I'm actually walking through the valley of darkness. My prayers are not being heard. My thoughts, my wishes never come to pass. If this is the thing, take this promise. In Isaiah, God himself says, see, look, I am doing a new thing for you this year, 2025. It springs up. Do you not see? Do you not receive it? Do you not understand? I am actually doing it. We got to think about ourselves. Lord, are you doing it for me? What is that new thing that you are doing it for me? What is that? I am making a way in the wilderness, which is what we want. We always go through difficulties and certain paths that we go through. And outcome is always discouragement. Outcome is always, this is not what I expected. But take this promise, and the Lord is going to bless you. Next slide. If I'm looking this year as a new beginnings. We've spent New Year's Eve, right in this church, from 9:30 till 1:30 or 2 o'clock, just walking into New Year with the Word, with prayer, seeking God in the sanctuary of the Lord. Felt so good. And we were praying, and we felt it is a new beginning. Years come and go. But how do we take it? You become one more year older, which is good or bad. So you become 1 more year older. That's all it. But biblically, it's a new beginning. We got to understand it's a reminder that we should have new beginning every time. In the new years, if you go to next slide, usually somebody said, a person would make 35,000 decisions in a single day. Can you believe it? What are those decisions? It's simple. Where to sit in the church when you come? You make a decision. Front row, second row, third row, fourth row. All right, I'll decide to sit here. And what to eat today? What to prepare next meal? What lane shall I drive? Shall I have another cup of tea? Or coffee? Decisions, decisions, decisions we make. Average 35,000 decisions. As I speak, I make, maybe already I've made maybe 10 or 20 in 3-4 minutes decisions, because I'm thinking, I'm asking, I'm looking, you know, well, everything. Usually people have New Year resolutions. If you want to put up next slide, can you give me that, pass me that thing? Yeah, clicker. So, New Year's resolutions. They do this personal goals, self-improvement. What do I do in this year, coming year? A fresh start. I want to encourage you. No matter how old you are, if you don't make decisions at least every year, every January, we're missing something. We're not growing. We're not developing our skills, our mind, our spiritual life. Make a decision. Make a decision. Somebody said, I will not touch my mobile phone early morning until I read at least 3 verses in the Bible. From the book, not from the mobile. From the book. Some people say, why are you doing it? I'm reading my Bible. Yes, you are reading, but read from the book. Somebody said, you know, I don't know who that person is. We call this one Holy Bible, isn't it? Holy Bible, we call it, although it's a book, it is holy. We can never call this phone Holy Phone. Although it has Bible, you know. Although it has Holy Bible written it. You know, don't go in. So some decisions every year. This year, I want to look a little bit more nicer. No, it's a decision. I want to behave when I talk to people. Thank you, brother. When I talk to people, I want to talk gently. You know, it's a decision. This year, I want to be a little bit flexible. Sometimes people are on time, people are blah, 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 blah. You know, when you see other people not doing, you get annoyed. You know. No, this year, I want to be flexible. Take a decision. This year, I want to have some disciplines. I want to pray 1 hour a day. Maybe morning half an hour, evening half an hour, or morning 1 hour, evening 1 hour. I want to pray when all my kids have gone to sleep, although I'm praying. No, that's what we want. It's a reminder for new beginning. New beginning. We all need new beginning. Let's go through some traditions people do New Year. I think last year we spoke about some of the tradition. In Scotland, Northern England, you know, New Year's tradition of first footing is observed. Folk law says that the first person to enter the front door of the home on New Year's Day will bring good fortune. It's often thought that if that first foot is tall and dark and handsome, it is really lucky, especially if he's carrying gifts for the home, like coal, bread, salt, rings, and coins. Some of the weird beliefs that we have. Some people have the traditions in the door. I don't know which country last year I spoke, because I have no electricity. My laptop, I couldn't bring. Anyway, some people, on the New Year's Eve, they would take all their crockery, little chipped crockery, and break in front of his friend's home. I don't know if we like it or not. And early morning, these guys would wake up and say, the more crockery is broken in front of your door, the more fortune you are, the more blessed you are, because you got more friends. So many weird traditions. Now, I want to get back to Bible, the new beginnings. Abraham and Sarah. Abraham was sitting under a tree, trees of Mamre, while he was sitting at the entrance to his tent in the heat of the day. Abraham looked up and saw three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of his tent to meet them and bowed low to the ground. So Abram was sitting on the doorstep in the area where it's called Mamre trees. So he looked up and he saw three men walking, and then it was a hot day. I don't know anybody who was born and brought up here would know anything about hot days. You probably know a little bit sweaty inside the house. Hot days out there in the eastern countries, you would be literally sweating, all drenched in sweat. You can't understand what to do unless you have air condition in your home. If you're walking, it's boiling. What you want to do, you want to go and stand under a shade, under a tree, and you take a breath. You want to have a sip of cold water. Wow, that feels so nice. So Abram was sitting there. He ran towards these three people walking towards that way. Why did he run? He thought, these guys are walking in the middle of this hot day. They should not be walking. The more they walk, they will die. Because it's not good to walk in that hot. And then he invited them into the house. And then he said, have a seat, have some drinks, drink some water. We will prepare a good meal for you. Why did he do that? Perhaps Abraham recognized common sense to invite, and also he recognized these guys are not an ordinary people. They seems to be a little bit different. They seems to be like an angel or angels. And if you read the way he spoke, he was talking to three men in a singular phrase. You, Lord, come and sit here. Although it said there are three people, which refers to Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then they came into the house. Sarah was asked to prepare the wheat, all the bread, and he went around and he killed a lamb, and then he made a big meat curry, whatnot, and then he presented with good food. The hospitality brought them new beginnings. recognizing somebody like God, inviting God into their home, started and brought them a new beginnings. What was that new beginning? They said, you know, by the time this time next year, you'll have a child. And they're thinking, we're old, we can't have a child. They said, no, it's nothing to do with you. God is going to bless you because God has come down into your house. God has seen your hospitality, the way you treat God, the way you treat people, the way you invited us. We want to bless you with the greatest gift. Although you've not asked at this point, we want to bless you. This gift, this blessing is not an ordinary blessing. It is an extraordinary blessing. A blessing that no human can do. A blessing that nobody can actually replace it. Something that you can't imagine that will happen in your life. Last night, a family was visiting us from Northampton. And this guy was, he was particularly visiting us to be prayed for his job. He's very knowledgeable. He's got loads of certificates. And he says he applies to all sorts of jobs. And he goes to interview. They all say, you're 95% qualified. It's all good. You're better than all the other people and never getting a job. And he says, I'm tired. What is the point? And he says, there is racism here. Or he says, some people don't like me. Or some, he says, is that happening? This happening? I said, all right. So he has come asking for prayer, asking for direction from a pastor. So I said, forget about all your thinking. There is no racism. There is no one is killing you, no one kicking you, nothing. Nothing as such. It could be there. Don't look there. What you should look at is God. God is the one who can give you a job, who can take you away job. Believe it. Understand it. You think you apply this, you know, you try all your things. You need an extraordinary miracle. No human can do. Nobody can do, but only God can do. Abram and Sarah cannot have children because they are too old to have children. Their bodies are not able to cooperate to bear the child. But God comes down and says, it is possible with me, I can do it. That's why I am God. I am going to do the impossible things when you think it's impossible and it becomes possible with God. So today, we all want impossible things in our lives. Whatever the situation it is, it could be a job, health, money, future, house, or spiritual life, biblical knowledge, singing. I want to know God more. Whatever the area you think of, or I don't have peace of mind, I'm done with this, I'm too old to think all these things, you know, I've never get rid of this disease, all these questions, my friends, God is God because he does the impossible things possible. That's how we need to believe. If you think God can do little thing, you know, next door person also can help you, the same thing. You got to think of what is God. God can do far more better things in our lives. Abram got a new beginnings. Don't forget the hospitality. Hebrews. Let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for you, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. They are human beings, but angels do come with them. God comes through with people to check to see how great is our hospitality. I think one guy from France was traveling. He stayed one of the buildings near our church, I think a couple of years ago, or I think 1 year ago. Phil, he was called Phil, wasn't he? So he walked into our church, and then for some reason, Pastor Craig and myself, we spotted him, new guy. So we said hello to him, and we spoke to him so well. And then we've arranged to meet outside for lunch. So we went to Nandu's, and we spent so much time. We invited him to the church, and we said, come, join us as family. I think he stayed maybe 4 months or 5 months. He walked into the church every Sunday. He felt like home. And he made a comment the last Sunday he was going back to France, and he said, you welcomed Sojourner very well. You welcomed him very well. I felt like home all the days that I spent here. And he's still in touch with all with both of us, and also Richard and Eleanor. Actually, in fact, Richard and Eleanor went to France to live with in his home for a holiday, for a while. Interesting. Hospitality, smiling at people, inviting people, brings blessings because God loves. Lot gave hospitality to those angels who've come to rescue this family. So they were rescued. All others were lusty, and they were all killed. Rahab was a person who saved all these men who went to spy out this land, because Rahab was kind enough to these people, showed hospitality. Now she got saved when the Jericho was down. New beginnings, my friends. Jacob was frightened of his brother, fleeing from his brother because Jacob cheated his own brother. He took all the blessings from his father. His brother was angry. Then he was running away. It was that time he saw this ladder when he was sleeping. And he wouldn't leave the particular angel, God, unless you bless me, I'm not going to leave this place. This is the place. Encountering with God, capturing the moment, and asking God. This guy is after the blessings all the time. It was a new beginning for his life. Although he was a bad guy, God has given him a new beginning, asking him, tell me your name. He wouldn't tell because his name was Cheater. And God would say, why would I bless a cheating person? I bless a righteous person. I won't bless a cheating person. So Jacob knew about it, and Jacob was not telling anything. He's telling, my name, no, you bless me first, I will tell you name. And God said, you tell me your name, then I'll bless you. And Jacob eventually had to confess, I am a cheater. Then God says, no longer you're going to be a cheater, you'll be Israel. I'm going to change your name. Joseph, a slave, was hated by his own brothers, sold to an Egyptian ruler, and then he entered into Egypt as a slave. Do you know a slave, how they would be entered? He would be tied, his hands would be tied, his legs would be tied with chains, he had to walk. And after going in there, they will tell him what to do, what not to do. If he has done something mistake, that's it, his life is done. They can kill a slave. But because he was faithful to God, no matter what was happening, no matter why he was put into the pit, why he was blamed for not doing anything wrong, why he was sent to prison, no matter what's going around, his focus was on God. We never read in the book that Joseph complained to God, God, why did you do this? Why did you do that? Why am I here? Why am I there? Why I'm being faithful to you? You should look after me. You're not actually caring. We never read any of those things. It was happening. Joseph was just there as he was before. And God wanted to give him a new beginning. God wanted to give him a new chapter because Joseph was faithful and God was always with Joseph, and Joseph became a ruler in Egypt. Can anybody do this? Only God, because God is God who can do impossible things, extraordinary things. I want you to think in that way. Do you need an extraordinary miracle in your life? I definitely need. Because no human beings can give me what I want. No human beings can meet all the demands that I have. Only God can. I want an extraordinary miracle. Trust in God. Trust in God. Ask for a new chapter. Moses was a prince and he decided to follow God, and he decided to be among these Hebrew people, although they are slaves. And God thought, well, this guy is good. Okay. He could go and be a prince, and he can become a king later on. But Moses decided to be identified with the godly people. And God said, I'm going to make you a leader. I'm going to change your chapter. I will give you a new beginning. Moses had the opportunity to see the glimpse of the glory of God on this mountain. God says, I have known Moses. I have known Moses. Blind men, God heals. Jesus heals blind men. Jesus opens the new chapter for this blind man. He opens the eyes and says, wow, I see new. Something new is coming. Samaritan women, you know, she met Jesus at this well and her eyes are opened and he saw, I saw Messiah. She went into the village and says, I saw Messiah, come and see him. Suddenly she becomes an evangelist. God brings her a new chapter, a new beginning. Before, she was hiding in her own little den. But now, she's out, running around. She's totally changed. Saul encounters with Jesus, and he becomes totally different after the encounter with Jesus. And he has written so many books that we read in the New Testament. Some promises that we should go with today. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. Some people are always thinking and living in the past. You talk to them, they say, 1947, we used to live there. Now, that house used to be this. Yes, of course, it was. Come on. Now, you can't live in the past. It was all gone. It was memory. Don't lose the memory, but at the same time, live in the present. What do we have today? What do we have to enjoy today? Forget if your past was bad. Some people always talk about, ask for testimony. They come up and say, I used to be a thief. I used to climb the window and I go that way. I go, and I say, nonsense, forget the way you did all this way. Don't teach people how to go into the houses. And you know, tell what God has done to you. Live in the past. God, see, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? It is a new year. I'm doing new things. I'm making a new way. The psalmist writes, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Don't think that you are the worst sinner and God hates. God made you in his own image. He knows you from the very day you're formed in your mother's womb. Now, this is what the Lord says. But he who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. Take that promise, although it was given to Israel. All those people who believe in the Bible, take it for as though it is for you. And say, Lord, thank you. Thank you that you've called me and you'll be with me even when I go through the situations. With my lips, I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. This is the resolutions that David take. I recount, I rejoice your statutes. I meditate in your law. I delight the decrees. I want to do this, I want to do this, I want to do this. I want to be happy reading your word. This is what David says. What is your decision for this year? Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine. And he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. Daniel thought by eating king's food in king's palace, he thought he's defiling himself. If I'm offered the king's food in king's palace, I would run. I would fly from here because that would be fantastic food, isn't it? But Daniel decided not to eat because Daniel was a Jew. And the king was not a Jew. He was a heretic. He was a totally different Gentile king. The king was not worshipping the living God Yahweh. King was worshipping all sorts of idols there. So Daniel knew the food would be offered to idols first, and then the food would be brought to the palace. And Daniel decided, I'm not going to defile myself by eating all these things. There's a big debate going on around. Simple, would you eat the food offered to idols or not? There's a big debate. We're not getting into it. Perhaps you must have eaten anyway. But by knowing, I wouldn't do that one. If you eat without knowing, that's fine. When you go to a restaurant, they probably offered. But not the food that is on the plate. The food that is offered would not be brought to you somewhere else. Anyway, so he decided decisions on the new year. I would not touch this. I would not touch that one. I would not touch that particular sin. I would not go into that particular temptation. I would not go into that particular nonsense talking. I would not use my mouth to speak nonsense like any other worldly people. Decide, decide, decide. Resolutions, resolutions, resolutions. Daniel decided. That's why God was with Daniel. The king said, go to your country. I'll send you money. I'll send you help. Go and build the walls. Go and build whatever you want. Daniel was a great guy. Remember God's promises. New year is new. Take new resolutions. Take new decisions. Follow Lord Jesus Christ. Yesterday is gone. Tomorrow has not yet come. We have only today. Let us begin. Begin to change. Begin to take new chapter. Begin to understand who you are. Tomorrow is the first blank page of 365 page book. Write a good one. Think how my a year is going to be. Write a good one. Which means take good decisions. Final one. Today is the first day of the rest of your life. Forget the past. Let's begin brand new life. Let's begin brand new thinking. Let's begin and expect great miracles from God. William Carey, the guy who used to be pastor in this church, went to India and did a great work. His first sermon was titled, Expect Great Things from God and Attempt Great Things for God. If you want great things for God, from God, you got to do great things for God. You got to take second step. You got to go through second mile. You have to take risk. Then God will do great miracles, great things in our life. If we sit there and say, no, I'm not going to do it. I will be so cozy sitting here. I'm going to go an extra mile. But I want a great miracle. It doesn't happen that way. The way it happens is attempt great things for God. 24th night and 31st night, we put up a prayer here for Telugu people. Some people traveled from Northampton with little kids. And I was so shocked because it's night, freezing cold. Some people traveled from Nottingham. Some people traveled from, I think, 5-hour journey. I can't remember what was that. 5-hour journey? I was so shocked. Why would you travel 5-hour journey on a car to travel and to be part of this service? They said, we want to go a second mile because we want God to do a miracle. It doesn't matter how many miles we travel, we go there. We've seen people from different places, Coventry, Birmingham. So short. Attempt great things for God. When you get up early morning on Sunday, you think, another Sunday, I need to take shower, get ready, go on time, and be there, have coffee. Oh, I got to do this job on that day. No, this is joy on the Lord's Day. We run for the service. We want to hear God's word. We want to sing the song that worship team is singing. We want to praise God. That is what I want to do. You know, decide it. This is in decisions. And resolutions, you know, you got to think yourself, I'm going to behave, I'm going to live in this way so that God will bless me. No matter what others are doing, I'm going to be this way. No matter what others are thinking about me, I'm going to be in this particular way. I decided as much as possible, I would wear the jackets in a suit and tie, and people recognize that one. If I am not coming with suit and tie, people, where's your jacket? People are asking me. There's something in it. There's nothing wrong or right. I decided to do that one. And God will give me, if I have three pairs, God will give me another three pairs. Somebody will get me. You know, it's not an issue. You know, the decision to look smart, to present myself well, it's a personal decision. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter what, who thinks what. Would I offend people? Maybe. Because somebody who's maybe offending. But it's not none of my business. My business is my resolution. I want to do things what I want for God. This year, may God give you peace. May God bring you a great miracle that nobody can do. God bring you healing. May God bring you a special anointing upon you. This year, may God release you from all kinds of troubles. May God release you from financial difficulties. May God give you peace of mind. May God give you a joyous life all through the days of this year. May God lead you and guide you this year. May God give you the fountains of blessings, my friends. May the Lord lead you in a special way. Shall we close our eyes? Shall we just close our eyes and say, thank you, God. I would like to move the past, move on to the next. I want to live in the present. I want to live and look forward for the bright future. What you have in store for me. And I will be excited to receive those things. And I will attempt great things for you. I will give you as much as I can. My time, my money, my energy, my thinking, my talents, I will give to the Lord. Lord, I want to stand out from the crowd that I have my own resolutions, my own decisions. I will follow you. And I want to see you opening a new chapter, new beginning in my life. All those past years, I tried and tried and tried and failed. I want to see new beginning, Lord. This year, Lord, please, at least 2025. I want to see. I want to live life, my life, worthy of my calling. Anoint me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Thank you, Father. Bless your name, Lord. Lord, we want to pray for all the church members who are sitting here and who are absent today. Lord, we want to bless our church. 2025 would be a new resolutions. 2025 would be making a path for all of us. 2025 would be a year, Lord, to resolve the issues. 2025 would be an year, Lord, would come out all kinds of troubles that we went through. We'll rejoice. We want to see this year the church is growing, Lord. We want to see so many people walking in and pitched in this place. Rooted in this place, oh Father. Rooted in the word. Rooted in the worship, Lord. We want to see our leadership, our deacons team, our pastors, all of us, Lord, rooted in the word. All of us would walk toward you, Lord. Would trust you, Lord. Would hear you, Lord, what you are saying, and we will do exactly what you want us to do, oh Father. Not my will, but yours. Thank you, Jesus. Send us with blessings. Send us with new chapters. Send us with new miracles, Lord, today for all through this year. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Shall we all stand together? Do we have any song? Finally, please invite the choir